We open our Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. As Donald and I are doing a bit of a tag team on this wonderful Old Testament book this morning. But I want to begin by saying it is so good to see Sherry Corum with us this morning, a representative of the Corum family we've been praying about so much and thinking about so much this week as Johnny has been in the hospital. And we continue to do that. And sister, we are so glad to see you. Take all of the love of this church back to your mother with you and your father. Also, I think it just bears emphasizing again the wonderful comments that Jack made around the table, that Jesus is our example. And he is our example in being obedient to the Father, even in difficult things. And he is our example about how God conquered his enemies. He didn't conquer his enemies by blowing them up or shooting them. He conquered his enemies by dying for them, sacrificing himself so that they might have a relationship eternally with the Father. Jesus indeed is our example. And he is the one who brings us together this morning. We call ourselves by his name. We are disciples of Jesus Christ because of who he is and what he has done for us. But today I want us to think a little bit about making choices. Life is the product of our choices. And that's why it's important that we make wise choices. But that's the rub, isn't it? How do you make wise choices? According to the Bible, it begins with having the right understanding of who God is. The proverb writer said in Proverbs 9 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." If we want to have wisdom about how we're to live this life, it begins with, first of all, having the right respect for God. Most people do not. Most people respect and fear all kinds of other things in life. But we as disciples of Jesus, we understand the nature of God and we stand in awe and reverence and respect before our Creator and our Savior. This leads us then to deepen our knowledge of who He is, to understand His Word. Wise decisions are made by people who honor the Lord and who know Him. But that's just the first two steps. Wise choices must then be acted upon. To make wise choices, you must follow through on them. Let me illustrate, for example. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and the first place they stopped was at Mount Sinai, where they hear the voice of God speak to them His law. And the text says that they trembled. They understood who God was. They heard His word. And the text says the people responded, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." What a great choice, right? We know who God is. We know what His word is. We will do it. And yet, in just a few days, they are going to be worshiping an idol of gold and committing sexual immorality. They knew God. They knew His word. They did not follow through. Wise choices are made by those who know God, know His word, and follow through on their commitments to Him. Every church has this. They have a place somewhere in the building, now in the digital land somewhere, where there is a stack of bulletins or stack of directories that has all kinds of people's names in it and all kinds of pictures of people who had first made the commitment to serve the Lord, but they are no longer following through on that commitment. And this church has a stack of those just like every other church. But my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't want that to be any one of us. We have the privilege of knowing God and knowing His Word. And I want us to be able to follow through on that commitment. To help us do that this morning, I want to look at one of the most memorable, most iconic decisions or choices made in the Bible. It was made by Israel in the land of Canaan. Joshua had led the people into the land of promise, and they had secured the land. And then Joshua, in his old age, calls the people to make a commitment to the Lord. And he spoke these words in Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now, fear the Lord. Do you see where it begins? Fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers' worship beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. And at this point, Israel responded with these words. The people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in the sight of and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all of the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land, and therefore we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." Great decision, isn't it? Because of who God is and what God has taught us, we're going to serve Him all the days of our life. Now, the great bit of information here is that this generation actually did it. The generation to whom Joshua spoke and the people who made this commitment followed through on it for the rest of their lives. The book of Joshua ends with those words, and so does the book of Judges begin with those words. It says, when Joshua dismissed the people and the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land, the people served the Lord all of the days of Joshua and all of the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. Here is a generation that did it. They knew God, they knew His Word, and they followed through in their obedience. Now, how in the world did they do it? That's what I want us to look at this morning. But before we do, I think I need to say that we all have to make this decision. There is a choice that we make. Sometimes we may say, well, I don't know, I'll just put that off, I'll make that choice at another time. But really, the choice to serve God or to not is really the fundamental choice of our lives. It was reflected in the garden. If you remember when God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the garden and He gave them a choice, right? And what was the choice? It wasn't complex. You either obey me and live, or you disobey me and die. And that's really been the fundamental choice throughout all life. Now, I'm not saying choosing God is easy. I am saying that it's a simple choice. We either choose to do God's will and live, or we choose to disobey and die. Jesus, when He came onto the scene, said the same thing in Matthew chapter 7. He said that there are two choices. There is a broad way that most people will live that goes to destruction, and there is a narrow way that few people will choose, and it leads to life. Colossians chapter 1 puts the choice this way. We can choose to be a part of one of two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of light that we inherit through His Son, Jesus. Or there is the kingdom of darkness that we participate in because of the works of the devil. And we have again that choice. It is a simple choice to either believe God and obey Him, or it is a choice to disregard and to do our own thing, but it is a choice that everyone has to make. And so this morning I want us to evaluate what kind of choice are we making. Let me notice from our text that this choice is, first of all, something that we personally choose. Notice what what Joshua says in verse 15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Now, Joshua was the leader of the people. He could have made the choice, quote, for them. But this is a choice that they each have to make individually themselves. And for us, it is not a choice that our parents make or our grandparents make or our friends make. It is a choice that we must personally make. And the reason why we must personally make it is because we are going to be held accountable individually. And again, this is something that we sometimes have a misconception about. We say, well, if I go to the right church, then I'm doing okay because God's going to save that church. Well, I'll tell you, God's going to save individuals. He doesn't save buildings. And He doesn't save groups just because they have a name on the outside. He saves individuals. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done in the body, whether it is good or evil. Each one is accountable for their own choices. And so perhaps it is a good time for us to stop and ask ourselves, do we have our own individual faith in God? Not, is my faith based upon what I was taught as a kid? Or is my faith based upon what a church teaches? But we need to ask ourselves, because we will be individually accountable, do I have a personal faith in God, and do I understand who He is? Do I understand His will? And is my faith based upon what I know and I am pursuing about God? You can see that Joshua made his choice very personally in his life. On one occasion, Joshua went up with Moses on Mount Sinai. And when they came down from the mountain, the people were at the base of the mountain worshiping idols and committing sexual immorality. Sex and money. And everyone was doing it. And what did Joshua do? He stood next to Moses and he said, I stand with this man. I stand with God on this. Later on, they're going to go into the land of Canaan. They're going to send these 10 spies in, and or 12 spies, and 10 come back and say, oh, this, they're too big, they're too strong, too mighty for us. We are afraid. We cannot obey God. And Joshua, Caleb, they're going to say, we stand with the Lord. He is going to be able to give us this land because He goes in with us. You see, to make this decision, it's got to be personal. And sometime in life, that personal decision is going to make us stand out from the world in which we live. Maybe even our own family. Maybe the people that we work with, maybe the people in our community, maybe the common thought of culture. And we're going to have to be able to have the courage, like Joshua, to say, for me personally, I'm going to serve the Lord. That courage of conviction is where wise decisions begin to be made. You remember that Jesus said on one occasion, Anyone who doesn't carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, don't miss the word there. Carry his cross. Jesus carried his cross to Calvary and died for us, but there is a cross that we all must bear, as we've sung. And that cross is where we die to self and we live to God. And we make that decision. It is our cross. And I can't make that decision for you in time of temptation. And you can't make that decision for me in time of trial. The decision to serve the Lord is one that is personally made. But then, this is so important. To make wise decisions, we must then be willing to refuse other loyalties.
Notice what Joshua says in verse 14. He says to the people, throw away your gods, your forefathers worshipped in the beyond the river in the land of Egypt, and serve the Lord. This is such a remarkable statement to me. Throw away your gods. Because here are people who have been able to see God part the Red Sea. They've seen Him feed the Israelites with manna and preserve them in the wilderness. They've seen them part the Jordan waters. They've seen Him knock down the walls of Jericho. They've seen Him conquer a land of 21 different nations so that God would give them the land that He promised them. And after all of that, they've got idols in their tents. Does that make any sense to you? That they would be hanging on to these idols when they knew a God that was so gracious and powerful. And yet, I have to ask myself, Tim, why do you do that? Why do you know a God who is so powerful and gracious to create and to save, and then you go to your tent and you find that you are depending on other things than the Lord? Your power, your wealth, your pleasure. You just feel like you just got to have, or you're just not going to make it. If we are going to choose wisely, we have got to be willing to say no to some things that are competing with our commitment to God. And this is really, I believe, where the rubber hits the road for most of us. Most of us know the Lord and we know His will, and we are glad on a Sunday service to say, the Lord is our God and we will serve Him. But then we go back to our tents and they are filled with idols that take up all of our energy and all of our thoughts and all of our money and all of our ambitions and all of our joys. And for that great commitment, it really means nothing. And we are just like those Israelites who at the bottom of Mount Sinai are worshiping gold and calves and committing sexual immorality, serving our idols. And so, perhaps today is the day we need to ask ourselves, what do I need to throw away? What do I need to remove? What's got to go from my schedule? What's got to go from my affections? What has got to go from my house so that I can follow through on a wise commitment to serve the Lord? And I imagine if we did that honestly and truly, we would have to get one of these big old dumpsters they throw out in front of a house that they're remodeling. And they fill it up and they take it away and fill it up again. If we are going to follow through on a wise commitment to serve the Lord, we need to be willing to refuse other loyalties. John, in his first letter, the very last thing that he wrote in John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21 was this. He said, children, keep yourselves from idols. If that was needed for Joshua, it was needed for John's day, it's needed for our day. It made me think, if I knew this was my last sermon, what would I say to you? Perhaps it would be good to say, I love you, but we need to get rid of our idols. Don't lose your soul for the ambitions and activities that you're involved in that are simply temporary. We need to refuse other loyalties. Here's the problem, though, is I think that we are idol worshipers, but we just don't know it. It is just becomes the natural flow of our life. And it's a little bit like a story I heard about a guy by the name of James Rich. He had bought a plane, and he had remodeled it and made it flight worthy. And when he finally got it finished, he thought that he would fly it to an airfield about 30 minutes away and show it off to one of his friends. But Mr. Rich had been up all night finishing his airplane. And so when it got time to take off and get in the air, he was so sleepy, he thought he was going to go to sleep. So he put it on autopilot. And he woke up 3 hours later, and he looked down, and he said, "I wonder what lake that is." And it wasn't a lake. It was the Gulf of Mexico. And he was 200 miles out into it. And he turned around as quick as he could, but he did not make it back. And that $70,000 plane, uninsured, drifted to the bottom of the ocean. And I think we're like him. We just do life on autopilot. It's what everybody else does. Going to live like everybody else. Think what everybody else, get my joy out of everybody else's stuff. And we put it on autopilot. And one day we wake up and we find out that it has taken us too far away from where God wants us to be. So maybe it's a time to personally make the choice to refuse some things to serve the Lord. But then thirdly, if we're going to make wise choices, we must then be willing to do that on a daily basis. Do you notice in verse 15 that Joshua says, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." The Hebrew there is a verb which means we will and we will continue to. It is a present and future decision that we're going to serve the Lord. And he said to the people in verse 15, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Now they have chosen to serve the Lord many days in the past. Are you all ready to cross the Jordan? Yes, sir. They made the decision to serve the Lord. You ready to walk around the walls of Jericho? Yes, sir. They made the decision to serve the Lord. And he is asking them, are you going to choose to serve him this day as well? And choosing to serve the Lord is something that must be done daily. In fact, major decisions require constant rededication. Isn't that true? Major decisions require constant rededication. In marriage, husbands and wives have days where they are not all that they're supposed to be. Now, I'm talking purely theoretical here. I've never experienced this. But I have heard that sometimes that's the case. That husbands and wives in marriage are not all they're supposed to be. And when that happens to me, I am glad that Jennifer doesn't just say, "Well, I made a commitment many years ago to love you." I'm glad that she makes the commitment to love me every day. Because a commitment made many years ago is easily forgotten. And I change and she changes. And it's got to be made afresh every day. In fact, I'll tell you that the reason I preach today is not because several years ago I decided, "Man, I love God and I love His people. I want people to be saved. I want to preach." Because there's been a lot of days I've thought to myself, "Isn't there something else I can do?" The reason I still preach is because I make the decision every day to say, "I love God and I love His people. I want people to be saved." And that's a decision we must make daily. If we're going to make wise choices, it cannot just rest upon these pinnacle moments of commitment. It must be made in the valleys as well as upon the mountains. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross," his personal cross, "daily," he says in Luke's gospel, "and follow me." And this is something we must do until the day we die. I love the story of Thaddeus Stevens. Thaddeus Stevens was a man who lived in Vermont that moved to Pennsylvania, where he was first introduced to the evils of slavery back in the early 1800s. And once he saw what slavery in its evil, evil form looked like, he decided he would do everything he could to end it. And he was one of the instrumental people that went to Washington and passed the laws of emancipation. And yet, after the laws were passed, he realized that it didn't end the way that people were being mistreated. And so he spent the rest of his life trying to help people be treated properly. But even when he died, he preached a message. He didn't choose to be born in the buried in the cemetery in town that was for the rich and powerful white people. He chose to be born in a poor cemetery that was populated by mostly black people. And he chose to have these words put upon his grave. Finding that the other cemeteries were restricted as to race by charter rights, I have chosen to lie in this humble spot in order that I might testify, even in my death, to those principles which I have advanced through my long life. In other words, for you who are not familiar with 1800 English, he is saying, I believed it when I lived, and I believe it to the day that I die. As Jesus would write to the church in Smyrna, you be faithful even unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. So what are wise choices? They're made personally by refusing other loyalties that we consistently make on a daily basis until the day that we die. But then Joshua adds one more to this that's worthy of note, and that is we must be willing to make those decisions, those choices, publicly. There is no choice worth making that is not worth going public with. In fact, that's what Joshua does for the people. He gathers them all together so that they might do it in the hearing of one another. And Joshua does it before all the people himself. He says, as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. You know how powerful that must have been? Here's Joshua's wife and his kids and his grandkids all around. And he says, listen, us, we're serving the Lord. How about you? And they looked around all their wives and kids and friends, and they said, us too. That's one of the great, wonderful things about our collective worship with one another, is that we help hold each other accountable. We hear each other say we love the Lord, and so when we're not acting like that, we tap each other on the shoulder and say, what's going on? And that's one of the reasons God created His church, is so that we might not just confess Him daily in our regular lives, but so that we might profess Him publicly within our sphere of those who are closest to us. Christianity is not a secret society. We go public with our faith in Him. I love what the people said. We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey Him. And I'm wondering if we're willing to go public and say that same thing today. We will also serve the Lord. Notice what the people did to make that commitment. It's found in the next few verses, Joshua 24, verse 25. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded all of these things in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all of the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all of the words the Lord has spoken to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. The book of Joshua starts and ends with rocks. The first rock in Joshua is when God parts the sea, the rivers of the Jordan, and each tribe takes a rock out of the middle of the dry land in the middle of the Jordan River, and they go stack it up over here as a memorial of God's power and grace. And it ends with another rock. They put over here under this tree that says, we promise to be faithful to Him. This morning, our rock, Jesus. We have remembered what He did for us at the Lord's table. He delivered us from sin. He has given us eternal life. And now it is up to us to make that commitment. To say, here is my rock. I will be faithful to Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to go public with your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to confess. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe today you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that He can bring you into His family. He can cleanse you of the sins of your past through the work of Jesus Christ. And you can go here today being free, forgiven, and faithful to the Lord. May we all live by that wise choice. If you need to respond, please do as we stand and sing.